Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready. All right. The appropriate sigh. I will scramble quickly to get the right piece of electronic paper in front of me, and we will be on our way. Hey, everybody, I'm Guy. I wonder why I need the piece of paper, because I know my name. Anyway, I'm here. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. We're going to make today make sense. Marielle is here, because Molly's out for the week, so hey.
Hi, thanks for having me. What's your news fix today?
Well, we're going to get straight to it because honestly, it's big news. There are two things, one of which broke about 5 minutes before we sat down to do this podcast, which is that Emily Murphy, the administrator of the General Services Administration, has said to President-elect Biden, hey, look, you're going to win so you can start the transition. So that's a big deal. Lets him get money and access to FBI clearance investigations and briefings and all of that good stuff. So that is, if long overdue, very welcome news. Number two is that, and I kind of love this, that Janet Yellen apparently says Kate Davidson of the Wall Street Journal is going to be his pick for Treasury Secretary, which is great for a couple of reasons. One, she knows Marketplace and likes it, so the chances of us getting an interview are really quite good, and that's the important part. But number two, I think it's a signal, as have all of his other appointments been, of a return to normalcy, of international cooperation, of respect for the appropriate parameters of the job, and hopefully none of the stuff that's been going on in Washington in the last 4 years. And so that's mine. Mm-hmm. Those are two pretty big little items, I think.
And there are a lot of folks that President-elect Biden is picking from the Obama administration, right? I think I saw John Kerry's name on that list.
Oh, yeah, you bet. He's going to be the special envoy for climate change. Antony Blinken was about whom more in like 5 minutes on this podcast, who's going to be Secretary of State, was Deputy Secretary in the Obama administration. So that's kind of the way it always goes, right? I mean, I think the Trump administration was a little bit anomalous in not picking people from the prior Republican administration mostly. But, you know, usually you get some retreads from time to time. So
yeah, for sure.
I think the return of normalcy is a thing that Molly and I have talked about a lot on this podcast as something we desperately need, and I think we're seeing signs of it. So that's, in my book, a positive. Yeah.
Okay, well, another thing that we desperately need is a vaccine. And
oh my God.
How'd you like that transition? thank you. Today we got news of a third vaccine from AstraZeneca that is also highly effective and cheaper and doesn't require refrigeration at quite as low temperatures, right? I think you can just put it in a regular refrigerator. So that is great news. And then I also saw this news from the Australian airline Qantas. Their CEO said that the airline, would require people, international travelers at least, to get the vaccine against COVID-19 before they could fly. And, you know, I mean, Australia, as we know, has handled the pandemic very differently from the U.S. So unclear whether American or U.S. airlines would do this as well. But he seemed to think that other airlines would. And I think it gets to this idea that corporations can really drive behavior and can drive public health outcomes in this case. Because if you think about it, if somebody wants to go on vacation, then they're going to have to get a vaccine.
That's exactly right. And that goes to something that Molly and I were talking about, or maybe it was Kimberly, frankly, I forget, because it's been kind of a whirlwind. But we had talked about vaccine acceptance rates and how, you know, there was a Pew study in October that said, you know, half the people, 49-something% of the people, aren't going to get a vaccine because it's politicized and you know, all that jazz. And either Kimberly or Molly, and I know this makes me a terrible person that I can't remember who it was, said, yeah, I think – it might have been Molly, I think – As it gets worse and as more people get sick and as the virus spikes, I think you're going to hear people say, oh, wait, maybe I will get the vaccine. And if I can't get on a plane to go to Hawaii for a vacation, if I don't have the vaccine, I'm getting the shot, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of things I thought about here, which is like, how would an airline verify this? They'd have to have some sort of system set up. I just looked up the numbers. A lot of people never fly. In 2017, just about half of Americans flew on an airline. So that's still a lot of people who don't. But if it can push any additional people to get the vaccine, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point that not that many people fly. I think that's really good. You know, I did an interview a number of weeks ago about QR codes and how there's some thought that maybe along with the vaccine, you go to get your shot at the Rite Aid or whatever, and then you go back a month later for the second shot or whatever the heck it is. And then your phone gets a QR code that you can scan at like a boarding terminal or whatever that would show you've been vaccinated. Now, of course, if you don't have a smartphone, like a lot of people don't, then that's a problem. But that's certainly one way to do it. But yeah, there's all infrastructure that comes along with this for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all rolls out.
Can we take a minute here? And I just want to break the fourth wall. And before we actually turn the microphones on, we were talking about what it's like in New York, because obviously viruses are spiking everywhere. And New York was the center of it all in March and April. And I had asked you what it feels like now. And then Ben hit the music and we had to start. So what does New York feel like now?
It's hard. It's really hard. It's getting colder, so I didn't leave my house today until it was already dark outside. And I had, you know, it's just like you don't see another human being all day. Mm-hmm. And it's too cold outside to really sit out in the park a lot of days. I think I've talked to you about this before. I talked on this podcast before about how my brother is a doctor at a public hospital in Brooklyn. I ran into him the other day because we live in the same neighborhood. We both wore our masks.
You just ran into him like walking the streets of New York?
Yes. And but we live pretty close to each other. He had his mask on. We stayed more than 6 feet away. And he just seemed really like he was having a really tough time because I think he's having sort of PTSD about what they went through in the spring and the possibility that it's going to happen again. And they've been through all of it before. And both of us have decided we're not going home to see our parents for Thanksgiving. So it's just, it's hard. And I think like the news of the vaccine is really hopeful to me because I feel like I was saying to you, maybe there's hope around the corner. Maybe in 4 months or in the spring, we could get some semblance of normalcy back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to be super not optimistic about this. And I'm thinking to myself, if the kids can go back to school in August, then it's going to be a win. That's what I'm thinking. So that's where my brain is, you know?
Yeah. Well, I did read this story in the Boston Globe when I was like doom scrolling last night, and it was about like, it was late and I came upon this story that was also hopeful. They interviewed these experts about how the end of the pandemic is closer than we might think because of the vaccine news. And we might be able to eat inside without fear in the summer. So maybe we just have
That'd
to hang
cool.
on a little bit
cool.
longer.
That's the deal. I think we do. All right, good. Ben, would you? There we go. All right. So I went first with the news. So you get to go first with the Make Me Smiles.
Okay. So it's actually somewhat related to your news fix. Did you see the meme with Janet Yellen today?
Oh, I did not. No.
Okay. So it's various pictures of Janet Yellen in a grid format. And it says, the first picture is her at an open mic speaking, and it says Janet Yellen. And the second picture is her smiling, and it says Janet Smiling. The third one is her looking stern, and it says Janet Glaring. And the fourth one is her looking upset, and it says Janet Worrying. So, you know, I just like really needed these puns today. It made me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's good that she's coming out of retirement to do this. I just think that's a really positive thing. You know, speaks well.
She's a smart lady.
Totally. Also, by the way, a labor economist by training, so she's going to have a lot to say about the state of the labor market in this country. Okay, so mine is about the nominee for Secretary of State. His name is Anthony Blinken. As I said, was Deputy Secretary in the Obama administration for the last couple of years. He is also a musician of sorts, and he has a page on Spotify. I wanted to tell you,
but I was so afraid. He's very soulful. He has this kind soulful. Of a deep, booming voice.
Well, here you go. So, now you know. It's A Blinken on Spotify. A-B-L-I-N-K-E-N. Get it? A Blinken?
Oh, that
he
is
has
clever.
57, isn't that clever? He has 57 monthly listeners. So, you know, you can be one of the few.
Soon to be more.
You can be one of the few. That's right. That's right. Anyway, so that's it. We are done. Kimberly's here tomorrow for the deep dive on the economic costs of racial injustice in this country, in this economy. And then what? You're back on Wednesday. Is that the deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just in time for Excellent. What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. So awesome. If you have any questions about retail, consumer psychology, taxes. I covered taxes for a while. I'd be happy to answer them. Send them to makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Oh, and also we should say, by the way, just we're not doing this on Thursday and Friday because everybody needs a break, up to and including all the people who make this podcast. So
that's a good decision. All right. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Ben Tolliday was in charge down in the studios in L.A. today. He composed our theme music with the departed Daniel Ramirez. That is to say, he has left Marketplace. He has not actually departed. Senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. Yes, that was poor phrasing. I apologize. I apologize.
We miss you, Daniel.
We do. We do. He's taking a week off and then he's going to work. In fact, he's going to Spotify, right? Isn't that the deal? I think that's what he's doing.
Indeed. Yeah.
So, good for him. Maybe he can record Tony Blinken and, you know, figure it out.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.